This is NPR's All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Noah Adams. Time again for Lost and Found Sound, our year-long collaboration with independent producers, artists, and listeners. This week, a New York story. Each Sunday on warm weekends in the city, Eric Byron walks from his Lower East Side apartment to the same bench in Washington Square Park in Greenwich Village. Here he sets up shop, a guest book, a battered box of 78 RPM records, a hand-painted sign, and a homemade phonograph with a 4-foot horn made from a heating duct. Eric Byron is ready to take requests. A self-appointed early century disc jockey, Byron fills his corner of the park with sound from another time and place. If a song was recorded before 1930, he probably has it or something close. If no one's there to listen, Eric Byron cranks up his machine and listens alone. One weekend, the Kitchen Sisters, radio producers Nikki Silva and Davia Nelson, followed the faint sounds of opera drifting across the park. And today they present this lost and found sound portrait of a man with a horn.
Best sound is in front of the horn. Here we go.
He made this thing himself with this huge horn that says man with a horn.
And he plays all his opera and these old records like Mario Lanza.
He's got records that are worth a fortune.
He has one of these old-time wagons, and he built this whole thing up by himself, he told me.
It's really cool. You put this together yourself, right?
This is a concoction, yes.
Yeah.
So something
and I just made this all out of random parts.
Yeah,
I visualized it. The whole thing sits on a child's wagon from the 1940s, and the turntable sits on top of a movie canister, which sits on top of a bed of rubber, which sits on top of a metal stool, and instead of having the wagon wheels, they're miniature pneumatic tires to absorb the shock as I walk.
He has tons of pins.
Yeah.
Why does he need pins?
Because you use one for each record, and those are the needles. The sound goes from the reproducer through the tone arm and then through plumbing. When I was going in, it was a real plumbing place, and I said, well, I need plumbing. So he said, you want it for steam or do you want it for water pressure? I said, I want it for sound. This horn is about 4.5 feet, and that's held upright by an arch, and on top of the arch is an American flag. I just felt that it sort of had to be there. I call it big horn, because a friend said, oh, that's a big horn. Oh, that's good. Okay, big horn will do. Hi, how are you? I haven't seen you in ages. Okay, which one do you want to hear first? Caruso with Nellie Melba from La Boheme.
This is very nice. This is Caruso about 1904, which is the beginning. It's not in great shape, it's Mopperie.
A young Caruso. This started when I was about 9. At that point, I broke my leg, and for the next 3 years, I was in and out of hospitals. I had a bunch of operations. And one day, I was watching Mr. Wizard. He had a program, and he would show kids how to make things. And one day, he showed how to make an early phonograph with a hat pin and a cone of paper. I liked it. I couldn't do much, and I made one.
Mr. Wizard. Now, Mr. Wizard's not his real name, but that's what all the kids in the neighborhood call him, because he shows them the mystery and magic of science in everyday living. The Serial Institute again invites you to watch Mr. Wizard. Oh yes, and by the way, Mr. Wizard lives in Chicago.
Anyway, what happened was that in the mid-1980s, I was working on a project which came to a horrible end. My world had collapsed, and I just closed down. And one of the ways of making myself better was making the phonograph, and I liked it, and I thought, well, what about making one for outside, because I feel so much better. And since that point, I've been bringing it out in the summers here in Washington Square Park. I picked this park because this is in the village, and you get Greenwich Village type of people. This was the center of Bohemia. It was like the left bank of Paris. And you get a response. You even get something from people who are heavily into drugs. Some sort of exchange occurs. And that's the reason why I brought it out. I mean, I didn't think it through. I needed to get out, and it's physically beautiful here. It's actually a burial ground. We're standing on top of 10,000 bodies or so. Paupers. This was Potter's Field. After Madison Square Garden, I think, was closed off in the 1790s, they opened this up.
That was Caruso about 1904, 1905, the beginning of mass production of recorded sound.
You speak Hebrew?
Yeah.
Yep. Do you want to hear the Hatikva or other klezmer or anything like that?
Can we just listen a little bit to Amalera Horn?
Yeah. Well, this is just after the Titanic went down. It says Anche Titanic, something that
Bayam. Oh, Tav'u, yeah. Tav'u.
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 It means, well, drowned.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that's what it says. Okay. So this is Yesla Rosenblatt. He was born in the 1870s. He was probably the greatest, he was considered one of the greatest tenors ever.
The king of cantors.
Yeah. Rosenblatt. Oops. Oh, well, did the needle go?
Why do you have to change the...
Because they wear very quickly.
So where do you get them?
I get them either from Brooklyn or upstate New York, and I buy them by, by 500 or 1,000. I really should buy them by 10,000. I go through so many. Okay. You too. I live in the old Lower East Side. It's about a mile. And what I do is everything goes on the wagon except for the horn, and the horn goes over my shoulder. Coming here, you don't realize unless you're pulling a 250-pound wagon. It's all uphill. You want something?
Can I donate a couple of dollars?
No, I don't take money. No? I don't take money. You want to hear...
Louis or Bessie. Louis, maybe.
Okay. Willie the Weeper. Did you ever hear that?
Is that Louis?
Yeah. Willie the Weeper, 1928. Actually, this one that's older to hear. This is Louis Armstrong in his Hot 7. But this sounds better. Willie the Weeper, Louis Armstrong, about 1928, 29.
I'm not doing what I would do, putting my hat on the ground and picking up coins. You could make a lot of loot if you wanted to.
Sure can. Rudy, I did. When I first started, I put out a hat. And I did, actually, I needed the money, but I felt pretty well with doing it. And then NYU and the Park Coalition gave me a stipend, about $150, basically covered new records and needles. And yeah, that was all right. But what I found was it works best without a money component. I mean, the money poured in, but this just doesn't involve that type of exchange. Let me do that Gallicherchi. This is a mad scene from Lucia. It came out about 1917, 1918. What's amazing about it is what she does with her voice the last this much of the record. Here we go. The mad scene from Lucia about 1918. It's the end of this record if you're not into opera. That is absolutely amazing. Sometimes you have people here. And some of them have big problems. And you have to be able to work with what's going on. The one thing I found out is the way to get rid of the drug addicts was to play sopranos. That's worked every time. I turn on Gallicherchi and they all leave. I don't ask why, I don't know. Last year, the police came. I was playing, there were quite a few people actually that day, and they said, you have to stop, you don't have a permit. And everybody said, no, you can't make him stop, he's been here for years. So what they said, unless you can produce a permit, you can't play. So next week I came and I put a big word muzzled on the machine. People walked by and they got angry. And by the end of the day, the same police came over and they said, this has been a
terrible mistake. There will never be another problem, you know, for you playing in the bar. So that's nice. Anyway, that was the Mad Scene from Lucia about 1918, 1917. What about how you're going to keep them down on the farm with animal sounds? That's from 1990. This was just before Prohibition, because the other side is, how are you going to wet your whistle when the whole darn world goes dry? See, initially it was the machine. And then it was the sound. There's something, I don't know what it is, but it can just put me in another place. And it seems that people come, and it does something to them, too. People plan to stay, you know, a few minutes. They spend a whole day. A couple, after they were married, spent, you know, she was still in a wedding dress. They spent the whole afternoon in front of the machine. It really is magic what happens. And maybe we don't have so much magic, or maybe I don't have so much magic in my life, what I expected. When I'm with this, I don't feel like I've lost anything. I just feel good.
You coming tomorrow, or what? When is the end of your season?
When it gets cool.
Okay. See ya. Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.
You want to hear how you're going to wet your whistle when the whole darn world goes dry? How are you going to wet your whistle when the whole darn world goes dry? 1919, a few months before Prohibition began. And the singer is Billy Murray.
Squatters on the Test Range. That's later on NPR's All Things Considered.